Tack för att du hör på Imekirkens podcast. Är du intresserad I en utdannelse inom ledelse och teologi? Gå gärna in på hlt.no/stavanger och finn ut mer om heltids- eller deltidsstudier.
So Elling, senior pastor, lead pastor, leading us in the movement here in IME Church. And I've officially, from G11, have now put it in the contacts of my phone as his job title is Big Boss. So I just want to proclaim that. And Karina, she is a wonderful pastor here in the terms of the congregation life, and she's such a joy to work with and just prolonging the life of this church and bringing a lot of life into it. So, but as a church of many nations, a question for both of you. What does it mean how does it excite you that we are a Norwegian church for all nations?
It excites me for many reasons. I'll mention two now. One is that Isaiah 56 says, God says, my house will be a house of prayer for all the nations. So that's a part of God's vision for his kingdom, is that all nations, all tribes, all kinds of people are gathered to worship him, to pray for him. And I think as we, as Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, part of our answer to that prayer, becoming a part of the answer to that prayer, is to become a community of many nations, of many tribes, of many kinds of people. And so we celebrate today how far we've come. I think there's a much more land to take, but really excited for that. The other reason is more selfish. It's the fact that I think we as the Norwegian church need it. In the West, we've kind of become used to being the center of the world, but we're not. And especially in Christianity, in church, the center of the church is in the South. It's in other parts of the world than in the West. And Rick Warren has said the church is not shrinking, it's shifting. The center has shifted from North to South. And so, quite selfishly, we need to learn from the church and from Christian brothers and sisters from other parts of the world. So listening to Pius later on, Alina and Erica, is a part of us becoming richer as a church.
So good. So Karina, why is it so exciting that we're a Norwegian church for all nations?
Because it makes me very grateful. This morning, as I was preparing for the meeting together with some other people, God really touched my heart and made me so grateful from the bottom of my heart that he placed me in a church with now 54 different nations. 55, sorry. 55 already. Wow, it's growing by the minute. 55 nations. And he has placed me here. And it makes me just very, very, very grateful. And my dream is that as people walk through the doors of IME Church, that they will immediately recognize that this is a church for all nations. I know we may not be there now, but, well, 55, we should be here. But my dream is that when people come here, we have people from all kinds of places working together in high team and the cafe and the Sunday school, and that it's just the air that we breathe and the water that we swim in. Yeah. And it makes me very grateful.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you both. Yes, I'm going to invite my brother Pius up. He's going to come lead us in the preaching on Luke 11. He did a wonderful job in bringing the text before us this morning. I love the sound of the African culture in his preaching. Pius was one of the first people Michaela and I met when we first moved here in the beginning of 2020. And we know him as, in the house churches, people call him Pius the Great or Pius the Wise. So maybe you get a little taste of that with how God has directed him in the preaching tonight. So thanks for your message, and now the stage is yours.
Thank you for that generous introduction. Thank you. So my name is Pius, and I am originally from Ghana. I moved here 12 years ago. Yeah, I think, I've just passed the 12-year mark now. So I thank God for that. But I think I get a lot of questions about who are you? People don't really know me. And people sometimes say, is the name Paris or Pius or Pius? Or I respond to any of them. So feel free. Feel free to call me Paris. It was the first city I visited in Europe. Feel free. But my name is Pius, and some people say Pius. And just a backup, my background, I'm from a normal African family, so I'm not rich. When I was growing up, what I wanted to be was a shepherd. So by the age of 6, I was already determined to be a shepherd. So I remember first day of school, we need to normally carry our chair and table to school. So I was given my chair and table to carry, and as I was going, I said, no, this is not for me. I want to be with a sheep. So I was crying. My mother said, out of here. My father was already gone. So my mother had to send me away. Anyway, long story short, I ended up in school. I had no idea what was going on in school for some years. In fact, I remember the last day of school. Normally, we will grade everybody, and first, second, and we applaud you. I was the last one. I was standing there. And so it means there was no grading for me. I was the last in class. But thank God for His grace. And I think that for where I am today, it is not only the grace of God, it's also the goodness I have received along the way, the generosity I have received from many people. And so I find it very intriguing that today I'm talking about hospitality. The first sign of hospitality that I remember was that when I was in grade 2, when I managed to make it to grade 2, I had to be pushed to grade 2 because they said he was not troublesome, so let's just push him. So I went to grade 2. But interestingly, the grade 2 teacher was such a different person. She was a lady. I remember once during break time, she said, sit down. You're not going for break. So I sat and I came to her table and she taught me, she began to teach me how to read. But the first thing she said, this is food, have. So I ate first before she started teaching me how to read. And to the glory of God, before grade 2 was over, I was already in third place. So if you wonder how I am here, thank God for the generosity of some people. Amen. Let's go into the story today. Today we are reading from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and I'll take it from 1 to 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive the sins of everyone against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Amen. 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 This is the word of the Lord. So we say amen to that. Amen. In fact, in this scripture, we see that Jesus it says that he had been praying. He had just finished praying, and then his disciples came to him and said, "Teach us to pray, Jesus, because we've seen John the Baptist has taught his disciples how to pray." So Jesus says, "Okay, here is a template for prayer for you." So he teaches them. He says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And I want to pick in on "your kingdom come" when Jesus teaches them how to pray, because I believe that is where Ellen landed us. And it was not planned that he was talking about that. I didn't know he was talking about that. But the heart of God is for all nations to be together. It is the kingdom heart of God. God has kingdom in everything he is doing. Amen? It is the nature of God. God is not parochial. He is not limited to a nation, a group of people, a particular agenda or gender or anything. His heart is global. Amen. So he says, "Let the kingdom come." He says, every time you pray, let the kingdom come. Now, he goes on, and in teaching them about prayer, he uses a parable about hospitality. And so he talks about this parable here, that if you had a friend who comes to you asking for bread because he also has a friend visiting him and he doesn't have anything to serve. And he gives us the scenario of what happens. So Jesus, I find it interesting that when talking about prayer or teaching about prayer, is also using something that is connected to hospitality. I find that dichotomy interesting, or that the two topics together interesting. So what we see here is that Jesus has prayed, now he's teaching about prayer, and he is talking about hospitality, and he continues with prayer. So in a way, Jesus is telling us that our Christian life is... prayer is an essential part of our Christian life, but it doesn't end there. Hospitality is very central to that as well. That is how I see it. I see that in the way he presents it, he is trying to tell us that our prayer, in a way, is incomplete without hospitality, and our hospitality is incomplete without our prayer. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Amen. Okay, good, good. Let's come along. So, Jesus is talking about, some people look at this text, and every time I've heard it preached, it's talked about persistent prayer, persistent prayer. And yes, Jesus is talking about persistent prayer, but he's also talking about persistent hospitality, amen. Persistent hospitality, that we will stop at nothing to see hospitality done, even if it's beyond our means, amen. And so we see in the story, we are introduced to the visitor, the one who is visiting his friend. So I will call him visitor. And then we have the host, the one who is receiving him. He is the host. And then we have the friend who is sleeping at night. Amen? Amen. The friend who is sleeping at night, he is also a friend. We all need some friends, and we need some friends who sleep at night too. Amen. And we need some friends who are awake at night. Amen. You need both. So we need friends. Do you agree? Friendship is very important. So I see that in this context. So the visitor is coming at midnight. Very usual time to come. Well, if it was today, at least you will call and say, "Hey, I'm arriving at midnight." But in those days, there was no mobile phones. So he probably just showed up. In my own setting and background, this was very usual. You had visitors any day, any time, and you had no idea they were coming. You will see them, and you're like, "Oh, Uncle so-and-so, oh, welcome." And you go and, you know, meet them, and you are so happy. And I enjoyed having visitors in my home because it appended the rules in the house. Everything had to change, so I enjoyed that. That was a bit selfish of me, though. But it was a bit of work to have visitors as well. Because everything kind of changes. The sleeping arrangement changes. Now, to give you a bit of an insight to how our home was when we were growing up. Normally, you would have only a single room. A single room. I don't know if you can picture it. So you have the door, and then you come in, and that's it. That's our whole livelihood. And if you are a bit more economically advanced, you would have what we call chamber and hall. Chamber and hall. And that means you are a little bit advanced. So you come into the hall. When you open the door, you come into the hall, and there is a sitting arrangement. Maybe you have a television. God has blessed you. Wonderful. And then there is another door, and that leads to the bedroom. So that's all you have. Your livelihood is limited to that. So imagine coming to your friend who lives in this house, and he's already sleeping. So in my upbringing, we would normally, in the hall, every time we are going to sleep, we would have to do rearrangement. So there is a center table, there is a television that is somewhere in the wall there. And when my father comes home, you would have to move things around. He will sit in the center of the house and he will eat. When he finishes eating, you will move things aside. So when my father has not come home yet, it is not possible to sleep, because I don't have a place in the bedroom. We, the children, only sleep in the living room. So you rearrange the furniture to get enough space. And sometimes that also means when you get a visitor, you need to even shift more things. Sometimes move some of the furniture out, put an extra mat. We didn't have beds. Mat, and put something that makes it a bit soft for you to sleep, and you lay there. So now, imagine at midnight when we are already sleeping and you come knocking on the door for bread. What is going to happen? My father will respond, "Hello, who is that?" And blah, blah, blah. "Oh, it's me. And unfortunately, I have a visitor who just arrived. I don't have any food. Do you have any food that I can give to my visitor?" "Oh, come on. At midnight? Can't it wait tomorrow?" "No, no, no. He's very hungry. So I need to give him some food." But you need to understand, we are all sleeping. My children are already sleeping. They'll go to school in the morning. If I wake them up now, they will have a bad day tomorrow. So can't it wait? "No, no, no, no. I still need something for my friend." Amen? "I need something for my friend." Okay. Because of his persistence, okay, my father will say, okay, all right. I'll sort you out some." Then he will call my mother and say, "Do we have any bread?" "Okay, yeah, we got some bread. Where is it?" "It's in the kitchen cupboard somewhere. You know, we have to move everything." Okay, all right. Then they go. He will need to jump over me first, go into the kitchen cupboard, open things, move furniture around. And then probably my brother is sleeping very close to the door, so he needs to also wake up for the door to be open. And here you go, your bread. And he sends you on your way with your bread. Amen. So getting bread in Africa is not as simple as getting it here in Norway. Here you can go to the supermarket and pay for it. Amen. So this is what happens in a typical setting, just trying to get bread for a visitor. And this is powerful hospitality on display. We might look at this family and say they are selfish because, yeah, he was thinking about his children and he was thinking about this. But look at the setting and you understand that he had a lot of considerations also. He had a lot of considerations, and every point he raised is valid. Now, I applaud the friend who also woke up in the middle of the night and walked all the way in the midst of the darkness. We didn't have lights those days. You needed to have a lantern. If you had a candle, good luck, because the wind will turn it out. You needed a lantern, you need fuel in it to see your way to get to his friend. It was not conventional to go alone in the night. But he went alone, all to get bread for his friend. This is genius hospitality. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to build the kingdom, we need some sacrifice. We need some friends who are willing to make sacrifice. Friends who will offer their bread for you. Friends who will go out of their way to give you their extra bread. Amen. And I pray that you and I will have those friends. You and I will have those friends. And one thing that I see also in the model of prayer that Jesus is teaching the disciples, he says, when you pray, pray for daily bread. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. And so the bread that this family man had was actually meant for the day. It was not meant for another day, but he was preserving it for the next day. Of course, he is a family man, so he needs some bread for the next day. But he didn't know that God had already made provision for tomorrow. And so that bread was actually not for him. It was for that visitor. It was for that stranger. It was for that hungry friend, that hungry neighbor. Amen. Now, do you know that all of us have some bread? All of us have some bread. We all have some extra bread. Something that we are holding on to that can be a blessing to a stranger. That can be a blessing to the neighbor. That can be a blessing to somebody. What is that bread for you? What is that bread? For a lot of us, that bread might actually be physical food that you actually invite your home, invite people to your home and serve them food. That is great. That is wonderful. For some of us, it might be that you actually see somebody who is weak and vulnerable and you are there for them. That is also your bread for that person. Amen? Amen? Will you do that for a friend? Will you do that for a stranger? Amen? Amen. I am hearing yes, yes, yes. That is very encouraging. We have good people. We have people with great hearts here. Hospitality is not new to us. We are doing hospitality already. But I sense that God is trying to expand our ways of doing hospitality. Amen. And so all of us, some of us might feel very, very down that, okay, I'm not in a place where I'm able to open my home. I'm not in a place where I'm able to cook for people. But that's not the only way you can do hospitality. You have some other bread. You have some other bread that will travel all the way to a neighbor, to a stranger who needs it. And what is that? What is that bread? Amen. What is that bread? I believe we have it. Sometimes it means mentoring somebody who is new in an environment. Amen? I talked about how I was locked outside a hotel in Paris for more than an hour when I was in T-shirt. I had no idea how to get into the hotel. I needed somebody to help me. Thank God he sent somebody to help me. You need to mentor somebody. And for some of us, sometimes you will spot a brother or sister and you will see that this time is a midnight time for them. It's a difficult time for them. And even though you are not connected to them, you don't know them, you don't have a personal relationship with them, you can still show them hospitality from a distance. Amen? We can still do that. And I have a fantastic story of how when I was in university, there was one day I met a certain lady. She was in my church. I had never talked to her. And I passed her and I felt God say, look at her. I looked at her and I felt God say, pray for her. Within a week, that lady went into some serious crisis and she was in her final year. And I had to become one of her support team members. Until date, we are still a great family. Amen? And sometimes that is the way that God will lead you to send out bread to somebody that you are not even connected to. The ways are limitless, but the most important thing is that you see that you have some bread that will be needed. Amen? Is somebody here who has bread to give out? Is there somebody here with some extra bread? Yeah. Amen. I can see people scanning their homes and checking the extra bread they have. Come on. I want some parties after this. Invite all of us for that extra bread or send it to an orphanage or somewhere where they need that bread and let them enjoy it. Because you know what? When we are praying that we will get bread, when we have it and it's for today, we need to enjoy it for today and trust that God will make provision for the bread for tomorrow. Amen. And so we can feel free to give out. Now, I will end with a testimony that I received today. I have a friend of mine who is a pastor in a small village in Ghana, and he was invited to another church in the city. So he was there preaching 3 days. And on his way back, he pass through. He would naturally drive through the town where my mom lives. So he decided, when he got to the town, he decided, I should go see your mom. And this is how beautiful it is, that even though he's not my biological brother, he sees my mother as his mother, and so whenever he gets an opportunity, he can go home. And it's not the first time, and will not be the last time, that our homes are open to others. Maybe it is your children's friends or your husband's friends and all that. When our hearts are open, it gives room for God to come in. So anyway, he goes in there, and he goes to just see my mom. So the first thing he sends me, your old lady is looking good. And that moved my heart. I was crying the whole morning because my wife didn't know. I woke up and I went upstairs and I was crying. It made me emotional. But the second part of the testimony that touched me was, he said, when I was preaching in Accra, I saw a lady at the back of the church and she had a child in her hand. I saw that, no, they didn't look good. So afterwards, she went to talk to the lady, and she touched the child, and she said, no, this child is dying. So he immediately said, this child needs to be sent to the hospital. So they sent him to a hospital, and he was admitted. And then they didn't have any money, so he kind of interrogated. And it turns out that this lady is a Cameroonian married to a Nigerian, and they are living in Ghana. Things are not going well. So they've been managing for the last 2 months with this sick child. They have no money. So my friend, with everything he had, gave it to them. And then he was driving home. Then he goes through my mom's house. And when he was leaving, my mom gave him a pack of Norwegian chocolates, amen. That is bread from Norway, amen. I make sure I supply bread, enough bread in Ghana. Norwegian chocolate, that is all I take with me when I'm going to Ghana. So my mom had a bit of it, so he gave him a bit and he added an envelope. So his testimony was that, thank your mom for me, for her generosity. She had no idea how she helped me, because I had no way, we didn't know how we were going to get from that place to our town, because we didn't know that the fuel would be enough or not. And the money your mom gave me is the same amount of money I gave to the lady to take care of her child. That is all I had. And when I read, it was the first message I saw this morning when I woke up. And I sat up and I was crying. I said, God, we are talking about Global Family Sunday. And here you are teaching us how to be a global family. That there is a lady from Cameroon who will be married to a lady and a man from Nigeria, and they will end up in Ghana, and they will receive bread from a stranger, from my mother who is in her village somewhere. How can you make that happen? How is it possible, except that you are a God with a big heart and you have a bigger picture than what we see? And that moved me. The whole day I have been crying, and I was not able to share this very well in the morning because I was very emotional about it. But this is the kind of God we serve. So don't limit yourself. If you are immobile, if you cannot cook, if you cannot open your home, God still has ways to use what is in your hand. Amen. I just want to pray that God will open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to see his heart, to see things the way he does. He will bring the right connections. He will bring friends. He will bring strangers. And he will bring the right connections so that we are able to give bread where it is needed. Amen. Are you ready to give your bread out? Then trust that there is more bread coming. Because this God we serve, he is good. Because at the center of his heart is care for the stranger. God richly bless all of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. So Erica is from Singapore. I've had the blessing of also knowing her for several years now. She helps us as a church be sharpened in our multi-ethnic focus and being a church of many nations. So she's going to be sharing on friendship evangelism this morning. So very excited to hear what you have to share with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Derek. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, I'm very thankful to all of you for accepting me as I am. Like he said, I'm from Singapore. Singaporeans are really weird. And if you go anywhere around the world and you see someone holding a piece of paper and looking for a dustbin, I can guarantee you that's a Singaporean. And they also bring wet wipes, and they are always wiping everything and making sure there are no germs. So we are really weird. We are a peculiar race. So I am very thankful that Imi has accepted me as part of this great family. So I'm very thankful to the leaders. I'm very thankful to all of you for accepting me. And so I shall now speak about friendship evangelism and what it means to me. So simply put, it's about relationship. Because God came down in the form of man called Jesus, and he was here, and he was mixing around with people who are socially unacceptable. You know, in society, we always look to people who we can, you know, look kind of good and we can talk to them. But then Jesus was not doing that. He was always with people, you know, that nobody wanted to be with. I mean, he was speaking to Zacchaeus, and then he was speaking with his strange disciples. He spent time with them, and they were quite strange. And then he listened to the cries of Martha and Mary. He was talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. He was always looking for such people, so much so that the religious people called him a friend of sinners. So that was Jesus, and that to me is friendship evangelism. So I learned from my master, because he came here to earth and he created a revolution of love. He came here to serve with humility, and he is the King of Kings. I mean, he was there and he came down to be nothing for us. So because of that, I want to be like him, and I believe that everyone here want to be like Jesus, because he lives in and through us. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in and through us. So that's friendship evangelism. And why do I do it? Well, number one, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. So if we are ambassadors, we represent him. We represent the kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. We are not citizens here. We are citizens of heaven. So it's not about being a Singaporean or Norwegian or anything, but we are kingdom people, kingdom mindset, kingdom values. So it's so wonderful that I'm in this church that embraces all nations, because we in IMI, I'm so proud to say this, that we in IMI, we have a kingdom mindset and we want to change things. So I'm really proud of that. Yeah. And secondly, as a follower, what does that mean? It's about relationship. We follow the master. We do what he did and what he is still doing today. And today he's asking us to partner him. And we are called to preach the gospel to the nations, to the ends of the earth. So I believe that because Christ lives in us, we carry his presence. So because we carry his presence, wherever we go, people see Jesus in us. Sometimes all you have to do is just sit. And like what Pius said, that's the bread. You just sit there, and sometimes people just talk to you. I've seen that repeatedly in my life. I just sit there. I'm like, okay, too much information. Don't tell me. But that's the beauty of being his child. We carry his spirit in us, you know, and he lives in us. It's a habitation, not just a visitation. So I want to see in this church that I call family a habitation of God, not just a visitation. I want to see glory day after day, week after week, month after month, because we as a family believe that God is going to do great things through each and every one of us. Because I really believe that all of you have a great heart, even this morning, when this afternoon, we were praying. And the thing that came to me was, all of you have such a big heart. And all you have to do is just make yourself available, because Jesus lives in and through you. Yeah, so, and the second thing is, God has given me talents, and I don't want to hide it, because I don't want to dig a hole and put all my talents in there and cover it up. I would like to use all the gifts that God has given me. That is my desire. And I believe that all of us here have some gifts. There's some bread to be given away. So why not use it, so that when we see him, he's not going to say, oh, why did you not use the talents that I've given you? You know, I would like to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's another reason. So I just want to share some stories, because my gift is to tell stories to people, and then I try to cook, and hopefully nobody dies or nobody gets sick. So it has been good so far. So in Singapore, I used to cook for my colleagues, and even those who took all the credit for my work. And strangely, I cooked Norwegian salmon. And I don't know how to cook French food or Italian food, so I'll just Google, because Singaporeans like European food. And it's expensive in Singapore. So I'll just cook for them. And one of them, she was eating the Norwegian salmon, and she was just weeping. I'm like, wow, I didn't know I was that good at cooking. But it had nothing to do with me or my cooking. The Holy Spirit was convicting her and telling her that she's loved. And through that, she got saved. And she became one of my greatest supporters for missions after that. And then there was another one, same thing, over and over again. I see this happening constantly in my life, just by being available. And sometimes the food is really terrible, but it works. And also in Indonesia, when I lived in Indonesia, I used to sit on the ground with the Indonesians. See, the beautiful thing about our God is he meets people at their level, you know, like the Samaritan woman, right? So we need to go down to that level sometimes. And I'll sit and eat with them, I'll use my hands, and that's fine. And in Myanmar, I sat and ate with them beside the toilet. But being Singaporean, I panicked because, you know, we are very particular about bacteria and all. So I prayed really hard. I just want to be open here with everyone. And then in India, the same thing. That was just sand, and we just sat there and ate. But through that, we were able to have conversations about God. And they asked a lot of questions about God, actually. And they got saved. So it's very simple. It's really that simple. Sometimes it's just about saying hi, or sometimes it's just sitting down and eating with people, or sometimes just sitting and not even saying a word. So it varies from place to place for me. And in Egypt, I went with a tour guide with my two children to see the pyramids, and I just bought him a bottle of water, and I asked him about his family. He was so touched. He was so touched, and he invited us to his house, and we had dinner with his family, and I met his mother-in-law, his children, his brother-in-law, and so many people. And I shared the gospel in Egypt, where you cannot even share the gospel, it's banned. But God made a way through my kind act. It's a simple act. I just bought a bottle of water. What's the big deal? But God changed that little thing into something so good and so wonderful. So I'd like to encourage all of you, wherever you are, just do that little thing that God tells you to do, and you'll be surprised what he does. And so now in Norway, what have I been doing? So just in the last 1 month, I was going jogging. I was actually praying for Derek. I was jogging and praying, and then I saw this woman with a baby in the backyard. So I just went and said, "Oh, your baby is so cute! You know, and where are you from?" And she said, "Oh, I'm from Syria. Oh, I'm from Singapore." And then we started chatting. And I said, "Would you like to come to my house for coffee?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, that'd be really nice." And she said, "Would you like to come to my house for coffee?" I said, "Absolutely." And that was one. And then I just met this Indian lady just 2 days ago. I was at the bus stop, and she looked very lost. And I asked her, "Are you okay? Do you need some help?" And she said, "I've been here for 6 months and I'm feeling really lost." I said, "Well, I'm Indian. My dad is from India. I'm from Singapore, but I'm Indian." She's Indian. And so we exchanged numbers, and she told me that she would like to come and visit me. So she's Hindu. So I met a Muslim, I met a Hindu. And then I also met a Malaysian lady. She was just passing by my home, and I was standing outside. And I said, "Hi." I said, "Oh, hi, you look Asian. So nice to see an Asian." I come up with the most ridiculous things just to make friends. And I really don't think it's me. I think it's God giving me strategies. So then we started chatting. And again, she also said that she would like to see me again and have coffee, because she's just living close to me. And then I met this lady with beautiful pink hair in the canteen, and she's a chef in the canteen where I work. She's really cool, lots of tattoos and everything. And we just started chatting, and she opened up and told me a lot about her life, about her sickness, And we chatted, and so she wants me to go have beer with her in a bar, and I don't like beer. So somebody has to go with her. Somebody, anyone from here, any takers, please come and see me. Yeah, and then there was this receptionist in the building where I work, and she's Norwegian, and we were talking, and she said, "So what's your religion?" "Oh, I'm a Christian." "Oh, you're a Christian? I'm a Christian too. I didn't know you guys are Christians in Singapore." So she was very surprised, and then we started talking, and then I told her, "Well, I wasn't always a Christian." Then I was able to share again how I became a Christian. So she's very curious. And she also wants to have dinner with me. So I thought I'll just invite somebody, a Norwegian, to come and have dinner with her and me. That would be bad. You're not Norwegian. Yeah, so this has been happening a lot. And then I invited my colleagues. They are from Pakistan and Syria, China, Jamaica, and I was able to share about God with all of them in the office. And then I have this tenant. This is really funny. He's from Pakistan, so he hasn't been here long, and I invited him for dinner, and he just started to cry. He was so touched. He was like, "Oh, you can't leave Norway. I'm going to pray for you to always stay in Norway." And he wants to make sure that I have enough money, and he wants to even set up an Airbnb account for me and take care of Airbnb, because I have this extra room. So you see, the beautiful thing is, when we listen to God, He does speak. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the most neglected person in the world today. Above all the things, you know, the strategies and all that, if we just pray and pray and pray and listen, I truly believe that all of us will do something great for God. And so how can we start doing this? Pius was preaching, ask and you shall be given, seek and you shall find, right? And knock and the door will be open. Ask God, what is His plan for the redemption of mankind? And join Him, partner Him. and seek, look out for people who need us. They need God in us. So talk to them or do whatever it is that God tells you to do. And, you know, pray that God will knock on the hearts of these people and the doors will be open and they will receive him. And before I end, I just want to share a little story about myself and why friendship evangelism is important. Who you see today isn't the girl who was many years ago. I was an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic because I was severely abused by my ex-husband. And I've been a single mom for 18 years, raising two kids on my own. I was penniless. I was homeless. If not for the Christians who came to me and helped me, prayed with me, I would not be delivered from alcoholism. I would be poor. I would not be where I am today. So friends are important. All of you are important. And God is calling each and every one of us to partner him because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that's going absolutely crazy sometimes. But we want to show the world that we have the Prince of Peace in us. We have joy, we have peace, we have love, we have everything that the world does not have. So there is an invitation that's going out today to each and every one of us here to join God in what he is doing today. Amen.
Wow. So good, so good.